This afternoon, I would like for us to study the Word of God for just a few minutes. You know, a lot of times I think it's good for us to review Scripture, promises that are in the Bible, requirements that the Lord has for us in the Bible. And if I could put a title to this, it would be The Plan of Salvation. And probably all of us could say, I know what the plan of salvation is. But I would like for us to look at some verses this afternoon. I'd like to start out with one verse, and then I have some other verses I'd like to share and have people read around in the afternoon. It's kind of a sleepy time, but I'd like for us to receive something from the Lord this evening. In Proverbs 28 and 13 is a verse that covers the whole scope of man. He that covereth his sins will not prosper, shall not prosper. You know, that's just a message all in itself right there. So the best thing I can do is don't try to cover. You know, we have had examples in the Bible that we used to read to our children. One of them that just pops to my mind right now is Achan. When they were told at Jericho, don't take anything for yourself. And he took a few things for himself, and he had it hidden. It's covered. Nobody knows what it is. You remember the process that God caused them to go through to find out who did it? You know, God could have easily told Joshua, go over and talk to Achan himself. But instead, the whole congregation watched this unfold. They drew lots, and the first lot fell on one of the 12 tribes. You know, that happened to be Achan's tribe. You know, his mind had to start churning just a little bit, but there could be thousands of people in that tribe. Surely he's still safe. Then it comes down to this group of that tribe, and Achan is still part of that group. It comes down to family.
Yes.
It was Achan's family. Yes. Then it comes down to Achan. And you know, Joshua didn't say, Lord, are you sure this is right? Did we do this right? He just looks like an innocent man. Joshua didn't do it. When Achan was chosen, Joshua said, tell me what you did. It was that the Lord doesn't pull any blanks here. He knows what's going on. Now just tell me what you did. And the price tag for that was so great. This little verse, so small. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. So I need to find out, you know what the very first thing to salvation is? I need to uncover my sin because it's already uncovered before the Lord anyhow. I'm glad that verse doesn't end there. Because the message that the gospel has is a positive message. He that covereth his sins, it's true, he will not prosper. But he that confesseth, that's not enough in itself either, and forsaketh, shall have mercy. You know that we're living in a time where the religious world believes in confessing. They believe that you sin more or less every day and you tell the Lord, I did and I confessed it. This has one more little word that is very important for us. Confessing and forsaking. That's the plan of salvation, is that I come to the Lord. I don't try to hide it from him because I recognize he knows it already. And then I say, Lord, this is who I am, what I've done. And by your help, I'm going to forsake it. And then the Lord steps in. That's where we're going to find mercy. And it says, Psalms 136, I believe every verse says his mercy endureth forever. Yes. It's available for us, but you know what? We can cancel that mercy that he would have for us if we don't follow these other steps. Yes. To hide our sins, remember the verse that says, some men's sins are going to follow after them. Yes. Some men's sins go before. Folks, I would love to have any time one of us will fail, the grace of God. Don't let it go to the judgment. Let's take care of it now. We don't want it to go out there and because we must recognize God sees it. He saw it all anyhow. Let me just lay it out before him, put it on the table and say, Lord, this is who I am. This is who I have been. I confess it to you. And God, by your help and your mercy, your grace, I won't be that same man out in the future. The Catholic Church teaches confession. Maybe every Sunday they have a time of confession. But what God's looking for is something more than confession. I need to confess to the Lord, yes, Lord, this is me. But then I need to say, Lord, by your help, I'm going to forsake the thing that I know that you're against. And a picture that comes to my mind is in the 8th chapter of John, the woman that was caught in adultery. And Jesus told her something. I do not condemn you. So in other words, to me, condemning there means there's no hope for you. I'm not condemning you. But instead, what did he say at the end of it? Did he just say, you know what, you can't live above it anyhow, so go on back out there. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Want to be able to have a change, and that's this afternoon. This isn't just for Billy. This is for all of us. All of us throughout our life, that we would realize, you know what, if the devil ever ensnares me in anything, the best thing for me to do is lay it open before him, before the Lord, and say, Lord, this is who I am. And I'd rather acknowledge who I am, Lord, and the help I need on this side of eternity than over there when I stand before you. So the Lord was offering mercy to her. I don't condemn you without hope, but what I do say is go and sin no more. In Romans 10 and 10, because we're living in a time where a lot of the religious world says, I believe in Jesus Christ. And it's so easy for me to say that off of my mouth. We all believe, you know, we believe that Jesus is the Christ. But you know what this one says in 10 and 10? With the heart, man believeth. Something starts happening. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. This is something that we need to realize. My believing in Jesus is going to cause something to happen in my life. It's going to produce some fruit of righteousness in my life. The plan of salvation, who is it available for? Is there anyone that is left out? Sometimes we hear about there were some people that had been chosen to be saved, and there are some that are not chosen to be saved. But what we want to look at is the Word of God. Who can give me a verse that the Word of God says who is available to be saved? The verse that we probably all of us have said at some time, John 3:16. Anytime you can find a verse that says whosoever, that covers everybody. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever will. That's another one. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Yes. There was another Revelations, when he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It doesn't say whosoever, but what does it say? If any man, whoever's willing to open the door, it's available for everybody. I am so thankful for that. So where is the problem then, if it's available for everybody? I found a verse over in John, the 3rd chapter, right after we had this verse of John 3:16, which was such a positive verse. It goes on down below that about the condemnation. You remember Jesus told her, I don't condemn you. But here is some condemnation. It says in the 19th verse, John 3, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Do you think they're going to open up before the Lord and say, Lord, this is who I've been? It's going to be cut. They're going to be covering it up. And here's the condemnation. This light that John 3:16 wanted to give to everybody, some men love darkness rather than light. So I'd like to give out some verses today. And Grant, would you mind to take the mic around whenever it comes time for the verse, where whoever has the mic? Yeah, and maybe when we come to the time of your time to read the verse, maybe raise your hand and he'll bring it to you. If someone would get Titus 2 and 11. Okay. And someone get Psalms 119 and 10. Okay. And Isaiah 59 and 19. Okay. Matthew 12 and 43. And 1 John 4 and 4. And we'll stop with that for a little bit. Okay, 1 John 4 and 4. Okay, so Titus 2 and 11 through 13.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Okay, teaching us, the grace of God has something it wants to teach us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Salvation is intended not to just forgive me from sin, but I'm just always living right on the edge where I'm just a step from falling over into it. Salvation wants to bring me to a place that I put a distance between me and trouble. So there are some verses that will do that. I'm trying to go to this place where I'm denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And I realize now I need to put some distance between me and Satan. I'm saved. I've been forgiven of my sins, but he's right on my back. He is close. He wants to bring me back again. So Psalms 119, 10, and 11, whoever has it, if they could.
With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
We probably will never realize the value of this verse till we're in eternity. The true value of what this verse is telling us. Your word, Lord, I hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen. King David, if he had been meditating on the word of God, he didn't have the New Testament, but he had the old. If he had had just the Ten Commandments in front of him having his worship that day, and then he walked out on the roof and he saw what he saw, you know what? There would have been more protection for him. There is an opportunity for us to put distance between us and Satan. It was intended when we were children over here in Sunday school, remembering the verses, Thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. To be able to have the Lord bring back, this was law number 10, thou shalt not covet. Okay, thank you, Lord, for bringing it up to my mind. Instead, he allowed himself to continue down that road till he had broken several of those commandments before it was over. I think it's real important for us to realize the value of me taking God's word and hiding it in my heart and then asking him, Lord, bring it up. When the devil comes in, okay, I better not go to this one yet. Somebody's fixing to read it. Isaiah 59 and 19.
So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him.
This is a valuable verse, I believe, because the enemy is going to come in like a flood to every one of us. It'll be about different things. The enemy may come into you like a flood when somebody has done you wrong and this feeling wants to rise up of unforgiveness. You know what, I'll be lost just as much with unforgiveness as I will be with David with Bathsheba if he had not repented. We'll be lost together without repentance. But instead, it's saying when it happens, here's something that the Lord would like to be able to do. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. And how does he do that? I believe it goes with that other verse. Thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know what? If I have not spent any time hiding the Word of God in my heart, how will He able to bring something to my mind and I don't even know if it's a scripture or not? I believe the Lord can help us with things that we don't even know is a scripture. But I believe what He wants is for me to have been applying myself, searching the Word of the Lord, knowing the things that I should do, the things I should not do. And then here comes a temptation and here comes a scripture as a support for me. Okay, Matthew 12 and 43.
When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none.
Okay, let's stop there just a minute. Sometimes we can look at this as being some wicked person that has just gotten saved. But I would like for us to think about this as when I have gotten saved, no matter what my past has been, you know, the devil's going to want to come back in with something. On some level, he's going to want to take his place back again. So this one in 12 and 43 is just the beginning of a story. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that spirit didn't just leave and say, he's saved now, I can never bother him again. It says he walks about through dry places seeking rest and finding none. Okay, 44. 44 in the next verse.
Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished.
Okay, so we look at this one. That spirit has circled around. It doesn't know what my condition is, but it's coming back to check. It says, when it has come back to check, here's what it finds. It's empty. You know what? It doesn't have a bad spirit in it anymore. But it's not filled up with something else.
That's right.
It's available for something to come in. I can remember when we were young, the old hotels, old motels that you could drive up to, they would have a sign lit out at the road, vacancy or no vacancy. If it says no vacancy, don't waste your time going and knocking on the door and waking them up in the middle of the night and asking them if they got a room. There's no vacancy. That's the way I would like to look at this one. When that spirit comes back again, seeking to come back to me, there's no vacancy. I filled it up with something. And part of that filling is this, I've started hiding your word in my heart. To where when the devil tries to return quickly, it's not about, I am so good, I've learned a lot of verses. Because you know what, me just learning verses is not enough. I need the Lord's Spirit to be able to sort those for me. I never want to take credit for myself that, you know what, I've studied the Bible and I know a whole lot of verses. Because you know what, at the very time I need it the most, I may not get the right one to bubble up to the top that I need. I need the Lord's help. It's His grace that will do it. So this one, he's gone around, he's checked it. He comes back, it's swept and it's garnished. It's like it's empty, ready to be filled. And what does 45 say?
Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation.
And you know, this could be my testimony if I'm not careful. At the end of it, if I repented of my sins, I was forgiven, but I didn't fill it back up again, Satan will come in. Because his purpose is, we've heard before, he's got a 5-year plan, he's got a 10-year plan, he's got a 20-year plan. He really doesn't care how long it takes. He just would like at the last day when I draw that last breath. And you know, Brother Philip didn't know when his last breath would be. He didn't have an instant if he needed to repair something, to ask forgiveness for somebody, there was no time for it. That's why it is so valuable for us to take care of it. So what defense do I have? Are we just vulnerable that, you know, Satan is greater than I am? He can catch me at any time. I'd like to take on a few more verses now. So if someone would get, we've got 1 John 4 and 4. Let me go ahead and give out some others. James 4 and 6 through 8. If someone would get it.
James 4, 6 through 8.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4.
2 Corinthians 10 and 4.
Uh-huh. And 2 Corinthians 2 and 11.
2 Corinthians 2 and 11.
Okay. 1 John 4 and 4.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
You know, that's a powerful scripture for us all. Satan, he's got a lot of power out here, and he would like to make us think, there ain't nothing you can do to hold me back. This one says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay, James 4 and 6 through 8. Second Corinthians 2 and 11. Was it that one?
Verse 6.
James 4, 6 through 8.
And he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded.
So we're talking about, okay, I'm saved now, but I'm wanting to put some distance between me and Satan. This one says we can put some distance. We can run him off. What was the instruction there? Draw nigh to God.
Yes.
He will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That'll be putting some distance right there between us and Satan. And you know what? I think a few times of resisting him until he flees, and he won't be so comfortable like the unclean spirit just circling just outside my door, wondering if I now have the sign down and there is really a vacancy, checking to see. I believe there is a way for us to live, and it's nothing in our own power to where Satan is pushed back farther and farther from the goal of taking my soul. So here is another one, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Okay, and go ahead and do the fifth verse.
Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
How valuable do you think it is for us to be able to push Satan back and get a distance between us and him by bringing into captivity some thoughts that come to our mind? You know what? There is such great value in us being, it says, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. There can be strongholds in our minds. There can be things that build bitterness. There can be things that build unforgiveness, and they can become a stronghold. But you know what? A lot of those began with a thought. It was a thought that I need to get replaced by something else. Maybe forgiveness itself replaces that thought. But bringing into captivity every thought, using our thoughts to our advantage of getting a distance between us and Satan. It doesn't mean that he won't come back. But I believe he will come back less often when he is found. You know what? I don't have a place now that I can penetrate. I have tried for a long time, and I don't have a place to penetrate. Do we get self-sufficient because he has not been able to penetrate us? Not at all. That song, I Need Thee Every Hour. Because you know what? The Lord wants us to realize how much we need him. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. The Lord sometimes wants to show us, be careful. Don't rely on your own ability to resist Satan. You need me to be able to help you. Okay?
Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in him.
That's a very valuable verse right there. The prince of this world cometh. He's going to come to every one of us. But with Jesus, he said, he doesn't have anything. There's nothing that I have that he can say, that's mine. No thought, no temptation, nothing that he has given that he can be able to claim. I believe that's not just something that Jesus was able to do, I believe he'll give us power to be able to do that same thing. Okay? 2 Corinthians 2 and 11.
Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices.
We're not ignorant of how he works. We're starting to realize I see Satan in this. Have you ever had a failure in your past to come back up to you and you know it's been forgiven? You know, when it comes to us with no hope for the future, we can know it's coming from Satan. If there is a place that comes to us that I need to make a change, but there is hope out in my future for it, if I will make the right choices, the Lord's behind that. We have a song, number 261, that tells us to press on. And, you know, we say it's best not to think about your failures of the past. But that song has a verse that says, press on and let thy failings a blessing to thee prove. Now, wait a minute. How can that ever do it? I've had a place where I failed the Lord in the past. And it's saying, let that be a blessing to your future. How can it be? You know, one thing it does, there is value in us being able to look back at where I have failed the Lord if it produces something in my life. That song that says, I'll never go back again. To whatever level that failure was, to be able to have the determination by God's help, I see where I fell. I look back over my past and there's some things I said, I wish I had never said that. I wish I would not have even been there and said what I did. I thought I was so right what I said. And now I look and I say, that was so foolish. And I was there. Should I just say, I'm going to erase that out of my mind? That's not even who I was. No, it's who I was. And it's very easy who I can be out in the future. That's why the verse is very important. Press on and let thy failings a blessing to thee prove. When the devil comes in and says, you did this and this and this, you can agree with him. I sure did. That was who I was. I thank God that he forgave me. And by his help, I'll never be that person again. That's the good part of being able to look back. Romans 7 and 13. If someone would get that. And if someone would get Isaiah 9 and 2. Will get Romans 7 and 13? Okay. Romans 7, 13. Let me give out a couple others. Isaiah 9 and 2. Okay. 1 John 1 and 7.
1 John 1 and 7.
Okay. Let's go ahead and do Romans 7 and 13.
Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful.
Okay, that little piece right there. So that sin by the commandment would become exceeding sinful is what's a very important part right there for me. That I would be able to see the places in my past that God has forgiven me of, but that I would see those as exceeding sinful, but they've been forgiven. That's what is the most important thing. We have another verse of that 261. One of them says, remember the things that you've done in the past. They'll help you. This one says, press on to what's before us, forgetting all the past. The light of heaven so glorious eternally shall last. Now that looks like contrasting verses in one song, but it's not. There is a place for me to remember the past. It will help me to never go back there again. There's a place then for me to forget the past. Who in the Bible had to forget the past? Paul. You know, he had a terrible past. I don't know of anybody that could have a worse past than he did for the future that was to be ahead of him. He persecuted those that lived for Jesus to the point of putting them in prison and putting some of them to death. And now he is converted, and now he is preaching back at some of those same places again. He said, forgetting those things that are behind. You know what? It could have hindered him from ever being a help to anybody because he just said, I'm just consumed with my past. Of the failures that I had in my past, I'm consumed by those. You know what? He could not let those consume him. I believe he always had a remembrance. I'll never go back there again. But he also closed it out of his mind. I'm no longer looking at the past. I'm looking at the future. By God's help, the changes that can be made.
Pressing toward the mark of the prize.
That's right. He had a goal in mind. I'm pressing toward this mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, Isaiah 9 and 2.
The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined.
Yeah, that's in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. And just a few more verses down from that is the verse that we all love. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And here it's saying those people that walked in darkness now have a great light. We have walked in darkness, all of us have at one time. I am so thankful that a bright light that we can now see the way to go can be shined on our pathway and we can walk in it. There's another verse in 1 John 1 and 7.
If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
This is an important verse for us to remember. I can't buy myself out of the failures of my past, the sins of my past. It is the blood of the Jesus Christ, his Son. It cleanseth us from all sin. What does it say? By grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. It's a gift that came from God. I'm thankful for that. I am thankful today that the message of salvation is positive. It is not intended to see if Jesus can catch us in a fault. You know, he wasn't looking at the woman caught in adultery to say, there's no hope for you. Would you get on out of my presence here? I'm not even going to condemn you, but I'm going to tell you, I want a change to be made in your life out in the future. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and serve no sin no more. Then there's the verse that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When the enemy comes in like a flood with any temptation, let me remember, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So, we want to have a baptism. You know what it symbolizes? It's like Wednesday night prayer meeting. When we come together and say, this is what the Lord has done for me. This is what he has done. It's not something that I could do on my own. This is what he has done. But I think more than anything else, it's a stake that we drive in the ground for Satan to be able to look at our determination. By God's help, I'll never be back to this point again. Now, if I fail again, I'm coming back. But by God's help, I want to put me some distance between me and what Satan would like to use against me. I would like to be able to have, and Brother Billy and all of us, I want to be able to have out by the road, Satan doesn't even need to pull in the driveway, out by the road he would be able to recognize, you know what, there's a no vacancy sign here. I will be wasting my time to stop off here. I might as well go on to somebody else. What causes there to be a no vacancy sign lit up? It is where I have thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart. However we have to get it to hide it in our heart. I have the opportunity, we all have the opportunity to turn on my phone on my way to work and listen to a message. And I hear scripture after scripture. You know, I don't want to say that will cause me to be gospel hardened. What I really wanted to do is like water dripping on a plant. It's a soft rain for me, because you know what? I could be doing something else with my time, and I can be listening to music that's given me some other thoughts, or I could be listening to the news that's given me some other thoughts that are not helping me. But I tell you what, I would like for the Word of God to just soak me more and more, and ask the Lord, Lord, I want it to be that my heart is soft, that it can receive scriptures, it can receive thoughts of other ministers that they have. I have had times where I thought, I know this scripture. There's nothing else can be preached about it. And somebody comes with a totally different thought to be able to, that the Lord has given them for that. I want to be open, that I soak in the Word of God. I think we're in a time, this is not just for Brother Billy. This is for all of us. Probably the devil realizes his time is short. You know, I've heard all my life preachers tell us the end is near. And when I was young, it used to scare me. You know what? We still need to be shaken by the thought. The end is coming. Yes. And what I want to be doing, I want to take advantage of it today. I want to hide the Word of God in my heart, because I need something to use against Satan. He is going to press every one of us in any way he can. He knows there is some things that he's wasting his time to bother me about. But I tell you what, he knows my weakness. When God spoke to him, Satan, about Job, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" You know, Satan didn't say, "There are so many people in the world named Job. Who are you talking about?" He knew exactly who he's talking about. He knew where he lived. He knew everything about him. And he thought he knew how man operated. If you take his temporal possessions, he will curse you to your face. You know, after he lost all of his temporal possessions and Job still had the victory, the devil thought, "I still know what will get man. You take away his health and he will curse you to your face." Job was faithful then. But what I want to get from that is the devil knows our address. He knows a whole lot about us. And I would like for him to know one more thing about me. Boy, he is stuffing the Word of God in his heart. He is trying to fill himself to where there's really no more room for me to be able to come in. I was so impressed. With the funeral service yesterday. Because you know what? That wasn't about a man. That was about a plan. That somebody let the grace of God work in their heart. There's a verse that says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God." That there would be a plan for my life. The grace of God was there to show the world what Jesus could do in my life in troubles, in temptations. But that I frustrated the plan. I believe we saw an example of somebody, he's not the only one, Brother Philip isn't. I've seen other people who took the grace of God and let it work in their life all the way through their life, given it to the Lord, and now it's our time. May we not frustrate the grace of God for our life. So my encouragement for Brother Billy and for all of us, the devil's on our trail. But I tell you what, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So as we get ready for the baptism, I have one more verse. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he'll be a new creature. old things are going to be passed away, and all things will become new. I want to be able to have and be that new creature, not just on the day I get saved, but I want it to be renewed day by day, that the Lord can be pleased with my life. This baptism is a testimony of what the Lord has done in his life. He has, in Wednesday night service, confessed. And his testimony is that the Lord has forgiven. And you know what? That is an important step to drive a stake. Yes. God has forgiven me. This is another stake. Yes. I have given a symbol right here. The old person that you used to know is no longer that same person. Brother Billy won't be able to do that in himself, nor can any of us. It'll be only as we apply ourselves to the grace of God. God, we need you every day. Let me never feel like I can do it on my own. I know how to make it to heaven, because the light's going to go out in the no vacancy sign. It's going to be open for the devil to come back in.